This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial will match 50 cents on each dollar you donate to Lutheran Public Radio, up to $300. So, if you donate $300 to Lutheran Public Radio, Thrivent will send us an additional check for $150. For more information, look for the Thrivent Giving Plus gift form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Make your gift to us go further with Thrivent Giving Plus.
Rosh Hashanah marks the start of a new year, a time of humble prayer, joyful celebration, and hope for a new beginning.
We know there is more that unites peoples of faith than divides us. So as Ramadan draws to a close, let us hold on to that spirit of community throughout the year.
Here you have a global organization that is spiritual and yet will bring together Muslims, Jews, Christians, and say, look, we all agree that there's some good big thing out there, but we're not going to put a label on it. Let's worship together.
In our culture, we have a three-headed monster, what I call the unholy trinity: pluralism, relativism, and universalism.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love issues, etc.
I think a lot of time people spend avoiding this particular subject. I, for one, and I don't know if I might be strange, maybe I'm overly morbid, I think about it every single day. I don't know why, but I do. I think about not only death in general, but my death in particular, every single day. I get into the car, honestly, maybe I'm just that pessimistic, driving down the highway to work thinking, well, could happen any minute now. What does it mean when a Christian says they're ready for death? Should Christians fear death? How should we think about death? What should we, according to God's word, believe about death? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon, September the 23rd. We're going to talk about Christians and death. We are subject to it as well, and yet we're told that we are victorious over it in Jesus Christ. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be our guest for the first half hour of the program. In the second half hour, Dr. James Nestegen, Professor Emeritus of Church History at Luther Seminary, author of an article titled Joining the Unchurched, will join us to talk about power plays in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, not only human power plays, but a shift of power and authority in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America that he says has been afoot for a long time and has been most recently expressed in their decisions, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America's decisions to approve of homosexuality in various forms. In the second hour of the program, we'll do a sermon review. We haven't done this in a long time. Review a Joel Osteen sermon. He's preaching about being, what does he say? Being a thermostat rather than a thermometer. We'll find out what Joel Osteen means by that during our sermon review in the second hour of the program. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Or Twitter us at IssuesETC. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. He's host of a weekly radio program called Table Talk Radio, and he's author of an article titled, How Should a Christian Think About Death? Brian, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
Is it a sin for Christians to fear death?
Well, that's a loaded question. Can we distinguish, just as we get started, just between, for example, Christians not liking death and being afraid of death? Because I think if we can make that distinction, it's helpful. On the one hand, we're not supposed to like death. It's okay to say, look, I don't want to die. It's in fact good for the church to try to support life in every way that we can. I mean, that's why the church insists on protecting babies in the womb and protecting old people from murder and all of this. The command, don't murder, stands that we support life. So we don't have to like death. And yet, when death comes, we do not fear it. In fact, this is what Hebrews says about that. This is a fantastic verse for understanding this. This is Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and following. It says, inasmuch then as the children, that's you and me and all people, have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, that's our Lord Jesus, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So that in the death of Jesus, our own death loses its coercive power. It loses its strength. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, it's lost its sting. It holds no more terror for the Christian. And so we're set free by the death of Jesus from our own fear of death.
So sounds like we shouldn't and have no reason to fear death.
Right. I mean, apart from Christ, we should be absolutely mortally terrified of death. Because death is the result of our own sin. If you eat of it, God said to Adam in the garden, if you eat of that fruit, you will surely die. And so death is the punishment that God has for sinners. And for sinners, on the other side of death, sits the wrath of God and eternal condemnation and all of that. But Jesus came down into our death, into our sin, into our punishment, into the condemnation and wrath of God to die, to take our place there. So now, in his forgiveness, there's nothing bad left in death. It's like the picture I like is of a bee. So say you and me are sitting in the, you're not allergic to bees, are you?
No.
Okay, you have to pretend like you are. You and me are sitting in a room, and we're allergic to bees, and this huge, big bee flies in the room, and I'm talking this huge toaster-sized thing, and it's got a 9-inch stinger, and on the side of this bee is written death, and on the stinger it says sin, and the poison dripping out of this stinger is death, and it's flying around the room, and you and me are diving for cover. Because we're mortally terrified of this thing. I'm trying to hide behind you, put it out in front of me so it doesn't get to me. But then into the room walks Jesus, and instead of running from this destructive bee, he puts his hands out and his feet out, and he takes it, this 9-inch stinger, and he dies the death that you and me should die. And you know what happens when a bee stings someone? The stinger comes out. And now it's just this huge, gigantic housefly. It's more annoying than it is terrifying. This is exactly what the death of Jesus has done to our death. I mean, if St. Paul says death has lost its sting, we could say death has lost its stinger. There's nothing more dangerous. The sin that makes death bad for us is forgiven. And the law, which condemns us in our death, it no longer does. We're set free.
Why do we die?
Because we're sinners. This is an important question. We have to know this, that death is always the punishment of God for sin. So Paul writes in Romans 6, the wages of sin is death. The paycheck of sin, what you deserve because of your sin, is death. And so every death is proof that we are sinners.
You mean I don't die because this body has kind of a limited shelf life, and it's the end, the natural conclusion to the living process?
Oh, that's perfect. I mean, that's what we would learn from, what is this movie with the circle of life?
Lion King.
The Lion King. That's what we learned from the Lion King. You know, there's this circle of life. You know, you live and you die. It's all natural. No, death is not natural. It's not how you were created. I mean, when God created Adam and Eve in the garden before their sin, there's no such thing as death. There was no there's no graveyards. There was no undertakers. There was no funeral homes in the garden. There was no doctors even. There's a bunch of things that there weren't, but none of this was there when God created Adam and Eve. It's purely and only the result of sin. And so, this is true also in the resurrection. There's no more death. So there's no more graveyards in the resurrection. There's no more caskets. There's no more doctors, hospitals, none of this in the resurrection. And your body will live forever like it was meant to be. So no, death is certainly not natural.
So what do you make of the euphemisms that we use? I mean, some Christians refuse to use them. Others find them useful. I'm thinking about stuff like passed on, passed away, gone to their reward, met their maker, gone to the great beyond, no longer with us, this kind of thing. And we have all sorts of ways of softening the verbs that surround death. What do you make of them as a pastor?
You know, I think as a pastor, one of our responsibilities to the Lord's people is to be able to speak very clearly about this sort of stuff. So I kind of love these Well, I shouldn't say I love it, but I always look back with fondness on these opportunities where I'll walk into the hospital or walk into the hospice room, or I'll walk into someone's room, and the person there, the dear sheep of our Lord Jesus, is dying, and they know they're dying, and I know they're dying, and everyone there knows they're dying, but no one wants to face it. No one wants to say anything about it. So the family's all there talking about how they're going to get better and, you know, what they're going to eat for their birthday party next year and all this sort of stuff. And I can walk right up to the bed and I can say, Ralph, you're dying. And it's always a shock on the family's face. I mean, their jaws drop and like, what? You're not supposed to say stuff like that. But, oh, the people there laying in bed just smile because they can now say, I know, it's right, this is true, I'm dying. So what are we going to do about that? Well, we can rejoice that Jesus has done everything for that. He's died already, and now he's just simply waiting to smile on you face to face. He's waiting to welcome you into his gates. His angels are poised to carry your soul to heaven. And now we can talk about the realities of dying as a Christian and rejoicing in the Lord's gift of death, because by that gift he brings us to life eternal.
All right. When we come back, we're going to have Pastor Wolfmiller explain that last part, the gift of death. How can death be enemy, which is very clear in Holy Scripture, and yet somehow for the Christian, for those who die in Christ, be the gift of death? I mean, think about all of the ways we avoid talking about death for what it is. And think about the one way that Jesus talks about death that sounds at first like a euphemism, a way of softening the blow. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but is that a euphemism? Is that a figure of speech? Or is Jesus actually telling us something about death when death meets him who is the resurrection and the life? We'll be right back talking about Christians and death. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, host of a weekly radio program called Table Talk, is our guest.
And no matter how we try, we are not afraid to die.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click Promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the Promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota, Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado, and Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Promote. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal. issuesetc.org, click Promote. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. He's written something titled How a Christian Should Think About Death. That's our subject for this first half hour of the program, coming up in about 10 minutes. Dr. James Nestegen, Professor Emeritus of Church History at Luther Seminary and author of an article titled Joining the Unchurched. We'll have him give his thoughts on what's been going on lately in his church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. He's written recently about some power plays there in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. In hour two, sermon review, Joel Osteen preaching, having a different kind of spirit. And Joel's got a new book coming out here sometime soon. We'll have to do a review of that book as well, but the sermon review comes up here in about 40 minutes on issues, etc. You said before the break, the gift of death? How can it be enemy? How can it be wages of sin? How can it be unnatural, something God never intended, and then at the same time, in some sense, be a gift?
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? I mean, I think if you have some unbelievers sitting on the looking through the stained glass windows, looking at these Christians trying to sort out what they think about death, that it's got to be utterly confusing. Is it, what is death? Is it their enemy or is it their friend? Is it something that they're fighting against or something that they're welcoming? And the answer is yes. I mean, it's both. Death stands as the result of sin. True enough. And every time we die, it's proof that we're sinners. If you're there at someone's funeral, you know at least one thing about them, that they were a sinner. Because that's why they're having a funeral there. But at the same time, because Jesus has come into our life and into our death, he has completely transformed death for the Christian. So now it's no longer a punishment for our sin, but it is the way that the Lord now brings us to his face in heaven. This is so the Bible will talk about what the old theologians called the dulce nomine morte, the sweet names of death, the candy names of death. The Bible gives the death of the Christian just these lovely names that are so fantastic and beautiful that now, because our sins are forgiven and we're promised eternal life, death is the answer to our prayers, that the Lord would deliver us from evil. And the way he delivers us is by giving us our last breath and bringing us to himself in heaven.
But that's only for Christians, right? I mean, we could in no sense describe death in this way for those apart from Christ.
That's right. In fact, for those apart from Christ, death is an eternal thing. It's an eternal. So it's not that you die and then are done. It's that you keep dying. So Jesus will talk about the resurrection to life and the resurrection to death. Can you imagine? I mean, to be resurrected is to be brought back from the dead, and yet there is a resurrection unto death, so that you just keep dying. So for the unbeliever, the talk of hell, the lake of fire, the resurrection of death, this is what awaits on the other side. So death for the unbeliever still holds its complete terror, because it's not just the end of their bodies breathing and moving around. It's the welcoming to the full measure of the wrath of God. But for the Christian, the wrath of God has been completely poured out on Christ. So there is no more wrath for you or for me or for all those who are baptized in the name of Jesus. There's no more wrath or anger from God on the other side of death. Simply his blessing and his smiling face, his anger turned away, and now his delight in us. That's what's on the other side of death for us, this wonderful, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest that I've prepared for you. That's what we have to look forward to.
When Jesus, dear friend, Lazarus dies there in John's gospel, Jesus breaks the news to his disciples by saying, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. They don't understand. Then he has to say, he's dead. He just says it plainly. But is he using a euphemism? Is he softening the blow with that first proclamation, he's fallen asleep?
No, isn't that wonderful? Jesus now names... only our Lord Jesus could do this, could give death a name like sleep. And the apostles pick up on it. I think Peter calls death sleep, and also Paul certainly does, calls death a sleep. Jesus does it a number of times to Lazarus, to the daughter of the gentleman there who called him to raise his daughter from the dead. And I believe another time, three times Jesus does it in the Gospels, calls death sleep. And the wonderful comforting thing about that is that when you sleep, you wake up. I mean, that's the point of this name, is that you lie down, and no one is afraid of is afraid of going to sleep. Well, I mean, maybe some people are, but hardly everyone looks forward to laying down and resting at night after a hard day's work, and you know that you'll wake up refreshed. Well, that's exactly what Jesus does to death. I mean, look, he knocks the teeth out of death when he dies on the cross so that it cannot hold you down. I mean, it couldn't hold him down, so it can't hold you down, so that Jesus will come and on the last day stand on the earth and he'll shout to all, every grave, wake up, and people will come up out of there in the resurrection, so that when Jesus calls our death asleep, he's saying, look, it'll only be for a little while. You'll rest in peace, and then you'll wake up in the resurrection. So this name for death is an indication, a marvelous, wonderful, comforting indication that death is not permanent, that it doesn't, it lasts just for a few days until Jesus comes back, and then you'll be awake in the resurrection forever with him.
Finally, then, with only about a minute here, the sadness that follows death, I think some Christians think that when a fellow Christian has died, a loved one, a father, mother, whoever it may be, and they've died in Christ, that we shouldn't mourn, we shouldn't be sad. In fact, there is kind of a trend in evangelicalism to, I don't know, it's ultimate exercise in denial, to let's celebrate their life. And everybody puts on a happy face. And they watch videos and with sappy music about the person. And instead of acknowledging what's actually happened to the poor person.
Yeah, that's foolish and dangerous too. I mean, look, if Jesus, you mentioned Lazarus before, the shortest verse in the Bible is right there when Jesus finds out that Lazarus died, and what did he do? He weeps. And we know that our Lord Jesus never sinned, so that when Jesus cries at the death of Lazarus, he shows us that it's actually a good work to cry and to mourn when someone dies. To pretend like death is nothing, or like it's all right, or like it's part of the way things are supposed to be, or all this sort of thing. No, it's sad when somebody dies. It's sad when they're no longer with us, when you can't call them on the phone, when you can't go visit them, when you can't give them a hug. This is sad, and it's okay for it to be sad. It's not something we need to get over. But we know at the same time that we mourn not as those who have no hope. Because while we miss the person that's gone, we know that we'll see them soon in the resurrection or when the Lord calls us to heaven as well. So our sadness from death and from sin only lasts for a little while and until the Lord brings us the joy of eternal life.
How is Jesus' death different, and how does Jesus' death make death for us different, in a nutshell?
Well, look, see, Jesus' death is not just his body dying, but he hands himself over to the wrath of God. So it's his death is not just that his heart stops beating and that he stops breathing. His death is the punishment for sin. His death is, I mean, the thing that's going on in his death is this, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus enters into the wrath of God in his death so that in our death, we enter into the grace of God, into the mercy of God, into the smile of God. He takes all the bad stuff from death so that we, on the other side of our death, get everything good from him.
What does it mean when the old Christians used to talk about dying well or dying a Christian death?
Well, essentially, that means to die in the faith, to die trusting the resurrection of Jesus, to die with our heart wrapped around his cross. There's some other things, I think, too, that have to do with it. I mean, the prayers in the litany, for example, to avoid a sudden death, because if you just suddenly die, there's no time to speak with your family and to all of this. The most blessed death I think I've been a part of was there when singing hymns with the family, and we were singing the Nunc Dimittis when our dear brother's last breath came, so that to be surrounded with your family and the Lord's word, this is all part of dying well. But essentially, to have a blessed death means to die trusting in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus.
Before I let you go, I understand this shows how much of a betting man I am and how little I pay attention to the things going on around me. I understand we had some kind of a wager on a recent Cards Rockies series.
Yeah, it's coming up this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The Rockies are going to show the Cardinals how to play some baseball here at Coors Field.
You know, the Cards aren't doing that bad lately.
I know. I think this will be a preview of the postseason because you guys are winning your division and we're nailing down the wild card. So I think this will be a preview of what's to come. But how did it go? If the Cardinals win, Table Talk Radio is going to send you guys a Table Talk beer stein, And if the Rockies win, you guys have a Issues Etc. bundle pack coming our way. So.
Oh, we do.
Yeah. Although I heard, did you give away all of those?
Well, we're kind of slowly but surely giving them all away, but we're replenishing our supply. You might be one of the first, if you win the wager, you might be one of the first recipients of the new, there's a new I Have Issues t-shirt coming out. You might be one of, among the first recipients.
I can't wait to get it after, you know, we'll see how it shakes out this weekend.
Okay, we'll wait after this weekend and then we'll announce the winner of our little wager here. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. He hosts a weekly radio show called Table Talk, and he is author of an article titled, How Should a Christian Think About Death? Brian, thank you.
Thank you, Todd. God's blessings to you guys.
We'll post a link to this article written by our guest, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand and look for How a Christian Should Think About Death. issuesetc.org. Click on demand. When we come back from this break, Dr. James Nestegen is going to join us. He's been a guest on this program many times over the last decade or so. And with every passing year, he and we have watched his church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, stray farther and farther from the truth of God's Word. Well, recently, as you know, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America openly voted in its summertime assembly to approve of homosexuality in the pulpit, at the altar, and in what they call marriage. We'll get Dr. James Nestegen's reaction to that after this.
This is not like your normal study Bible.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Will Wheaton on the New Lutheran Study Bible.
The wisdom of the church in meditating on the Word of God across the ages is supplied throughout the notes. Any wise, good thing that's been said on the basis of some text of the Bible, they've stuck it in there. It's got prayers. The Bible is replete with these little devotional meditations. It gives you help in witnessing. How can you use this particular doctrine from God's Word at this point to bring others to Christ, to help them come to know what He's done for them? The Bible is absolutely amazing. It's got great pictures. It's got, well, you can tell I'm excited about it. And I was one who was said to be jaundiced and not appreciative of it.
Enrich your devotional life through word and prayer with the New Lutheran Study Bible. Check it out at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can buy the Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Study Bible.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Miriam Virgo experienced a date rape. The assailant drugged her wine in a nightclub, and she remembers nothing from that point on. She was devastated to find out the rape left her pregnant. Miriam was raised in a strong Christian home, so she never considered being a single mom at 19. Against the advice of her heart and the will of God, she decided to have an abortion. But while in the hospital gown, walking into the abortion procedure room, she experienced an unexpected rush of love for her unborn child. She changed her mind and gave Kaylee life, who is now 7 years old. And Miriam has absolutely no regrets. I've talked with several women who've been in Miriam's shoes, and none of them regret choosing life for them and their babies.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.